Stressed out. Oh, two people raise their hand. That means the rest of you are lying in church. If you are living and a human being, you've been stressed this past year, right? I mean, it's if it's not one thing in 2020, it's another thing in 2021. Stress seems to find us all over the place. What are the things that are stressing you out? Big things, small things. One of the things that stresses me out that's a small thing is doing dishes. I hate doing dishes. Look, I'm a germaphobe, and it's just Leanna and I. And sometimes I have to pray before I even touch her plate because it's just disgusting to me. And that's one of the small things in life that stresses me out. Who in here is stressed about something? All of us. You're stressed out. I'm stressed out. We're all stressed out. Youth are going to be going back to school for like 2 months. Teachers are going to have to teach online and in person. If that ain't stressful, I don't know what is. How you react to the second dose of the vaccine can be a major stressor because it could be bad, it could be good. Leanne and I are stressed out because we found out recently we're having a baby. Yeah, very exciting, very scary. I'm going to be honest with you. When she told me she's pregnant, I couldn't stop smiling for an entire day, and I was absolutely terrified. I think that's the fear of the Lord, right? Joy and terror. I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. What am I supposed to do? She's going through all the sickness, and her body's changing and growing a human being, which is a miracle, and it's insane. And here I am. Just standing here, stressing out because I can't do really anything, and she's having to do everything. It is a stressor. But here's the thing about stress and even fear. These are manifestations of worry. See, we don't consider worrying to be something of a big deal. But worrying manifests stress and fear. Worrying is the gateway drug to stress and fear. See, worrying clouds our minds. It distracts us. Worrying shows us what we really value in this world. Worry shows us who we believe in to get it done. Worry reveals where our heart is. Worry takes our focus off of what really matters in this life. And worst of all, worry forgets we have a loving God. Worrying forgets that we have a loving Father. Worrying shows up in all shapes and sizes. They say don't sweat the small stuff, but I guarantee we stress about the small stuff. We're in Luke chapter 12 today, verses 22 through 31, real quick. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? Do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom. Seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well." Let's pause right there. See, God wants us to not be so preoccupied with getting so we can respond to God's giving. When we're so busy chasing after everything, we fail to remember that God provides our needs. And we fail to be thankful for that. Life is more than food and the body more than clothes, he says. Now, we don't tend to think of food and clothes as stressors in our life. And maybe because we have so much of everything, we take for granted the smaller things. But that doesn't mean they don't cause us stress. If you've ever been on a date, choosing the restaurant can be stressful. pre-pandemic. Leanne and I would get in the car. I make the fatal mistake of asking her, hey, where you want to go eat? Deep down, every man knows that the lady knows exactly where she wants to eat. But you somehow don't tell us. You're like, I don't care. Where you want to go? I don't care. We know you care. We know you know where you want to eat. Just tell us. We're not smart. Men are not smart. So ladies, help us out just to answer the question. But I figured out a trick, guys. Instead of stressing about where you're going to eat, ask her this. Hey, babe, guess where we're going to eat tonight? And she says, Plaza Azteca. And you're like, that's exactly right. I've been planning it for weeks. Problem solved. No more stressing. But even in the pandemic, we were stressing about food because that's the only thing we could do. The only place you could go to was the grocery store. And that became the biggest stressor. I didn't know how much money I could spend on food when I started having to make breakfast, lunch, and dinner every single day. Oh, man, and did I tell you I stress about dishes? When you have to make breakfast, lunch, and dinner every single day, they pile up. I mean, it's just Leanna and I, and we're talking dishes up to here. It's a huge stressor. Who's doing the cooking tonight? I did it last night and the night before. We stress over these things. We even stress about clothes. Now, we don't consider them to be stressors in our life, but we do. Actually, you're sitting in the very building that has some of the most unwritten rules about what you can and cannot wear. And then you are going to be silently judged by others for what you wear or don't wear. And sometimes it's not so silent. Right? I remember many years ago, I was drumming on a Sunday morning, and I wore a T-shirt and khakis. And Dad, who is the minister of music here, he could do this because I was his son. He's like, what are you doing? What are you wearing? He's like, yeah, it doesn't matter. I'm just worshiping Jesus. He's like, oh, it matters to me. And he goes into his office, gets this embroidered silk shirt from Romania that looked very out of place, and he said, here, wear this. I said, are you kidding me? I wore it. It was awesome. But he was silently judging me for what I was wearing. My dad. No, he wasn't, but he was. We care about what we wear and what other people wear. Now, we don't consider these small things to be stressors, but they are. And Jesus is showing us that there is more to this life than the pursuit of worldly things. See, our God provides such things as food and clothes, so we don't have to stress about them, so we can focus on the bigger picture, the kingdom picture. Why do you think in the Lord's Prayer it says, give us this day our daily, because God knows we need it, and he will meet those needs. Jesus says, consider the ravens. I love this. Consider the ravens. You're stressed and worried about how you're going to get the next thing. Just look at the ravens out there. Now, according to Mosaic law, ravens are dirty birds. You were not allowed to eat them. And yet God meets their needs every single day. Now, the Bible is constantly reminding us that the downtrodden, the people that are without, are commended not because of what they possess, but their dependency on their faith. And this is what we need to imitate. It's hard to do that when you have so much in your life. You don't have to worry about your needs. You just worry about getting more. But it's for those that have much in the way of being solely dependent on their faith. Last week, Pastor Randy talked about the rich fool who had every advantage in his life. He had so much stuff, he had to build bigger storehouses to store all of his excess. Consider the ravens. They don't sow. They don't reap. They're dependent on God. And God provides. God provides even for this dirty bird. Now, when I say God provides, I'm not talking about prosperity or excess. I do not believe that God is here to give you all the riches and the glory. No, he's not. He will provide you your needs. Life's needs are met by God for the whole world, and he's going to do this through the church. Now, you might be asking, well, why are there so many starving people? It's because maybe the church has been self-seeking our whole life. Maybe we as the church have been building our kingdom instead of God's. Maybe that's why there's so many without food today. You are the vehicle. that God uses to meet the needs of others. But so many of us miss our opportunities to meet the needs of others because we are so busy worrying about how to get more, the sin of more. We worry about the economy and stock market and all this money that's somewhere, who knows where it is and how much value it has. We worry about our prized possessions. We worry about our things, and it's eating away at our kingdom purpose. When was the last time you were wholly dependent on God? When was the last time I was? Now, I want a show of hands, and Facebook, you're welcome to comment too. Who in here has more than they need? Every single one of us. Every single one of us. I'm not trying to shame us, but this week I've been beaten up by the scriptures in a good way. I've been getting a gut punch, I've been uppercuts, all this stuff, because I've been convicted that our lives are so much about pursuing what the world has to offer that God just is not enough anymore for us sometimes. I don't want to shame us. I just want us to understand this, that we must realign our pursuit to God's purpose. And if we aren't careful, we will make our lives and our schedules about pursuing the wrong things. And then we will make the fatal mistake of thinking those pursuits are God-provided, anointed, and appointed. See, we tend to feel okay about our excess because we believe the lie that God has provided the excess. No, God has not provided your excess. That's you building your kingdom, me building my kingdom. But we twist God's purpose to fit our own. We twist his word. We do this all the time with the Bible. You can twist the Bible to just say about anything. You can twist the Bible to justify anything, your selfish desires. You can use the Bible to justify genocide, slavery, discrimination, women held as property, judgmentalism, hate. But you have to ignore Jesus to do so. One of the key verses that totally aligns up with what we're talking about today, it's one of the chief verses that has been used and abused so much for our own personal gain. And you know what it is, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things. Usually we put a period right there. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We use it for our own selfish gain. But the context of this passage, do all things, is not to achieve all things or get more things, but it's to endure things with contentment. We, in this nation, in this culture, we have a contentment problem. We have changed the line of what satisfies, which is why we've gotten lost in the hellhole that is more. We keep pursuing more. See, God provides so we may accomplish his kingdom-building work. Anything more than that is our own personal pursuit for our own kingdom. God provides what we need. Is that enough? Now, I constantly look around and see my family, my friends, my church family. I got my wife beside me. Is that enough? God provides your needs. Is that enough? How much more valuable you are to God than birds? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Back in late August, early September, I started to have these weird tingling feelings on my body and my head and all over the place. And I started to really freak out and just panic. And then one day, Leanne and I were in the middle of Target, and my mind just kind of like stopped. It was like, pew. I had no idea where I was at for a few seconds. And then on a Friday, then Saturday, and then on a Sunday morning, like 5 minutes before we started worship, I would not, like, there was so many times where I would just not stop crying. Just panic crying. Just could not stop crying. And it was aggressive. That Sunday morning, 5 minutes before, I grabbed Randy and Leslie and I pulled them over there. I was like, I'm freaking out. I don't know what to do. And I just was weeping. I was like, I don't know what to do. My mind I don't know. Went to the doctor a couple times. Everything physically worked out. Everything was fine. So the doctor came to the conclusion that it was stress. Stress manifesting itself in weird ways. I was having panic attacks where I could not stop crying, freaking out. See, I'm the most happy-go-lucky guy that I know. Everything is okay. Even on the worst day, I'm like, hey, it's not going to be all right. It's cool. I had never contemplated that the past year or two, frankly, just was terrible. Everything that I loved and enjoyed to do was ripped from me. Everything. And I never processed it until my mind said, you know what, man? Stress kills. Stress shortens life. It steals life from us. So when you start worrying about something before it leads to stress, what do? Pray. The Bible constantly says replace worry with prayer. In youth group, we've been having a couple youth and leaders write the devotions recently. And this week, Diane Boyette wrote the devotion. We call her Queen D because she's royalty. So you can call her that too. Actually, let's just keep calling her that forever. Queen D, I asked her like 2 months ago, hey, would you write the devotion for March 7th? I didn't know I was preaching that day. And I never gave her a topic to discuss. I never gave her a scripture. I said, hey, just write what's on your heart. And guess what she picked? Philippians 4, 5 through 7, which talks about worrying. On the same week that I'm preaching about worrying, and we were both like, whoa, maybe God's trying to tell us something? And so I'm going to pull a quote from this because it's genius, and she is awesome and so smart. She says this, when the problem is worry, the prescription is prayer, proper thinking, and proper responses. Have you ever noticed that when you worry, you respond differently? It's like you're panicked, and so the first thing you do is just do something, and it ends up being most of the time the wrong thing because you can't think about things properly. See, when the problem is worry, the prescription is prayer. Speak to God. He cares about you. We live life like he doesn't care about us and that he's not head over heels in love with us. See, when the problem is worry, the prescription is prayer. Worrying is not going to solve tomorrow's problems. Worrying robs today of its purpose. And our worry focuses on adding an hour. But people, we have a kingdom priority, an eternal priority. Stress will never add an hour. We've got kingdom responsibilities to get done. That's eternal. Our purpose is eternal. Yet if you look at our schedules, how much of that time is chasing worldly pursuits? I've been alive for 37 years, 8 months, and 15 days. Good Lord. That's 452 months, 1,967 weeks, 330,538 hours, 19,832,336 minutes. Man, I'm old when you think of it like that. But how much of that time did I spend worrying? How much of that time was added to my life by worrying? None. But a better question, how much of that time was spent building God's kingdom or building my own? The full retirement age is 66 years and 10 months. So if you start a job at 16, which many of our youth do, actually some of our youth are working full-time and going to school, parents, cut that junk out. You gotta stop that right there. They're going to work for the next 50 years. And they're like, oh, Lord, 50 years and 10 months. That's 445,595 hours of toiling the earth. See, in the beginning, we were walking in the garden with God, and he was providing, and it was all good. Everything was all good. He was providing, and we were okay with it. But then sin ripped through this place. So we started to toil the earth, and we've been working ever since. But somehow, in our culture, in this way of living, our work has changed from providing necessity to pursuing excessively. We don't work to put food on the table anymore. We work for a second home, a fourth car, a new PlayStation. Our pursuits don't look like God's kingdom at all. And Jesus is showing us there are two alternatives to life. The sustenance-seeking and arrogant, worrisome life, and the life of kingdom-seeking, kingdom-building. See, when we worry about the small things, we have lost the awareness of God as Father. When I grew up, my parents provided all that we needed and more. I love my dad and mom, and they were just so, they provided for us in every single way. But maybe you don't see God this way because maybe your father wasn't like this. I know my dad's dad, my grandfather, he wasn't a good man. And it's hard to say that about your family, but it's true. If you know anything about dad, he grew up in Lynchburg. Two older brothers, two younger sisters, and his mom. Dad was not providing for them, and they had to move like every few months because the bank and collection agency started to come around, and they got evicted like 7 or 8 times, and they stayed on the same like 3 or 4 blocks just to avoid people because their father never provided. Maybe that's like your dad, but that's not how our Heavenly Father does things. He loves you. He will provide for you. I fear if we worry about pursuing the small things, how much more worry are we going to have when we pursue the larger things in life? See, we can justify pursuing anything and everything this world has to offer, but you have to ignore Jesus to do so. Verse 31 says, seek his kingdom. That's being a Christ follower summed up in 3 words. Seek his kingdom. Jesus' kingdom. The coming of God's kingdom overturns this whole worldly systems and values that are at odds with God's purpose. See, God provides our needs so that we may pursue his kingdom needs. But we've got to realign our priorities. We've got to be kingdom focused. Verse 32. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Stress is manifested by worry. Fear is also manifested by worry, and fear creeps into us. It burrows deep down into our heart and bones. It stirs us up. It forces our focus off of the Father. If fear is made manifest by worry, God's will for your life is made manifest by his gift of the kingdom. If you're confused about what God's calling you to do, build his kingdom. It's easy. It just boils right down to that. Seek his kingdom. So why worry about the small things when you've got a greater kingdom responsibility? I think we fear being without because maybe, just maybe, God has never been enough. So we pursue more, the sin of more. How on earth can we focus on the kingdom? Well, he tells us. It's pretty clear. Verse 33, and this is not a suggestion Jesus is giving us. This isn't like, hey, you know what? Maybe in your spare time when you retire or, you know, maybe before you get really serious about your job and your career, maybe you can do this. No, this isn't telling us what to do. Are we okay with that? Verse 33, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide for yourself a purse that won't wear out. Jesus is not just like pointing out ladies and how many purses you have. He's talking to guys too. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. These are practical ways of living that we must pursue as God followers. Do you need another new pair of shoes to match your new outfit that you didn't need? No. Do you need another house that you go to 3 or 4 times out of the year? No. This passage sounds so similar to what the church was doing in the very beginning. But here we are. Look at us. Do we look like the early church? See, the early church had the community mindset. It wasn't about themselves. It wasn't about their own personal gain of stuff and things. It was about meeting the needs of the community. If someone was in need, you would sell something you had so that they could have that need. That's the church. That ain't the church today. Shoot, we think 10% is enough. We think giving 10% is faithful. 10% isn't even biblical. And I'm not just talking about tithing. I'm not talking about your schedule. I'm talking about everything. It's not biblical because that's the old covenant way. The temple in Jerusalem said, hey, give 10% to the temple so we can do our work. And we have attached that to our church today, but that doesn't look like the early church. They gave up everything so that some people could have something. 10% isn't faithful. 10% allows us to collect, hoard, and build up our storehouses for the sin of more. What are you doing with the other 90%? What am I doing with the other 90%? I'm probably building my kingdom and not his. See, we've been so consumed by getting so much that giving has become very difficult for us. And I think we're in danger of having a radical awakening when we realize that 90% of our pursuits had nothing to do with God or his kingdom. So what do we do instead? Provide for yourself a treasure that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. The thief does not rob the raven's nest. The thief robs the rich fool, which is you, which is me. The thief robs the fool. When you approach the throne of God, do you think he's going to care how many zeros are in your bank account? Do you think he's going to care about your 401k? Do you think he's going to care about your new 4K TV? Do you think he's going to care about how many books you've read? What level of Animal Crossing you're on? How many guitars you have? How much power you think you have? You think God's going to care about that? He cares about how much you loved him and how much you loved others. He cares if you are a kingdom-minded person or a worldly-minded person. All of these things fade in the splendor of our God, and yet most of our life is spent pursuing these things, because guess what? That's where our treasure is. And when you pursue that, you're going to get there. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I believe that so many of us are living in a state of being a Christian without ever being formed by Christ. We love being a Christian. We love this whole salvation thing. We love this worship stuff. But how many of us are actually formed by Christ? How many of us live our lives like this scripture just told us to live? I think we are far busier building our own kingdom than God's. The kingdom of God is not only a gift, it is an obligation. So when you examine your life, your schedule, your budget, your house, your possessions, your priorities, does it look like you are building God's kingdom or your own? When you look at your life and figure out all this worry for these other things that don't matter in the end, you're going to realize, man, I spent so much time pursuing the wrong things. I'm spending so much time pursuing things that God does not care about. It doesn't enhance someone else's life, only my own. Our God loves us. He has given us the treasure of his kingdom so that that can be our focus. So we don't have to worry about the small things or the big things because we have bigger priorities, kingdom priorities. But see, when we worry, it disrupts our peace. And I don't think true peace is absent of problems, because problems are going to keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. True peace is found in the presence of God, even when problems are there. So don't let worry sidetrack you. Don't stress over these small things when you have bigger kingdom responsibilities to get done. What is your treasure? And where is your heart? Let's pray. Lord God, convict us. Convict us when we wrongly pursue the ways of the world and the things of the world. Help us to never take for granted the greatness of your provision. Lord, our lives so often reflect building our own kingdom that we've convinced ourselves that it's just another blessing, when really we've just not been focusing on you, we've been focusing on ourselves. So Lord, help what our needs are met with to be enough. Help you to be enough so that we can focus on your kingdom here in this place. In your name I pray. Amen.